Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come before your people and come before your presence. And as we preach and teach and hear your word this morning, Lord, let our minds and our hearts be receptive to that which you will speak to us. We can learn a lot from the things that we go through and the things that we are faced with every day. Our attitude has to be one of new direction, but also one of new beginnings. We have to embrace where you have us right now, Lord, and we just continue on your path, and let us receive this word with gladness. In Jesus' name, church said amen. So in the book of Isaiah 43 and 19, the word of the Lord says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Everything begins with attitude, guys. You can either look at your life as blessed right now or have an attitude and say, this is all I'm going to get. I've learned, in the last year, I've learned to accept where God has me. Come on, somebody. I don't have time, Elder Vic, to let people bring me down. Come on, somebody. I have to have the attitude that this is where I'm at, this is where I'm going, and this is what God's going to do. I don't want to waste my time trying to get people, come on, somebody, to understand that if you're not with the Lord, it won't be successful. Come on, somebody. You will fall. When you get out of his will and out of his presence, eventually, your decisions will catch up with you. And so I decided the last couple of months of this year, my attitude is going to be like, whoever wants to do what they want to do, that's on them. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And so he says in the book of Isaiah, I will do a new thing. What you have to understand is your attitude is a direct reflect on how the rest of your life is. Okay? So I told the team this morning in our morning prayer after we got done, one of my companies decided they don't need psychosocial on call no more. This is my last weekend of being on call. And my first reaction, like Elder Ron, or even Elder Vic, because he loves money just as much as I do, was, man, I'm going to take a hit. Because it was like $600 a month. And I had an attitude. But then I thought, I'm going to get back to having my weekends. Sometimes money's not everything, guys. I mean, I have been working 60-plus hours a week, plus being on call, plus doing all those other PRNs, and now the Lord just says, I'm not taking nothing from you, I'm just adding to you. Come on, somebody. And I'm going to get back to my weekends. Come on, somebody. I'm going to get back where maybe do some stuff for the church on Saturday or whatever we have to do, go door knocks or whatever. But now I'm not going to have to say, hey, guys, let's move practice or whatever. Or because now I personally won't have an excuse. It's never an excuse because I'm working. What I'm saying is now God might be releasing me from one thing, but he wants to do something else. Amen, Anna? With what the time he wants to give me. Come on, somebody. So he says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Listen to me, our attitude has to be like when we come in here this morning. We're expecting God to send people. We're expecting to have a full house. Let me tell you something. Church don't start at 10:30 in this church. Church starts the moment you open your eyes. That's Sunday morning. The Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, come on, somebody. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the Cowboys game. I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the Broncos game. That's not what it says. It says, I was glad. Someone say, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the ha, house of the Lord. And so our attitude has to change. Look at this. New attitude recorded by legend Patti LaBelle. I'm feeling good from my head to my shoes. Know where I'm going and I know what to do. I tied it up my point of view. I got a new attitude. She sang that song with an attitude. Now, what if she came on and says, I'm feeling good from my head to my shoes. I know where I'm going. I know what to do. I tied up my point of view. I got a new attitude. You ain't feeling it, are you, Glow? Everything you do, Victor's laughing. Everything you do is with an attitude. When me and him were doing football, part of the problem is we had a coach that didn't get an attitude. We had a coach, okay, guys, that's good. Come on, next time we'll get a tackle. No, get in there and get a tackle, boy! Your attitude depends and dictates what the atmosphere around you. If you come in here on a Sunday and don't expect nothing, God's not going to give you nothing. If you're out there trying to talk about the Lord or trying to get, you guys, listen to me, please don't advertise for this church. If you're out there, hi, I'm part of the Life Worship Center. Do you need, man, let me tell you how crazy this was. So me and Josh are getting ready to go on a sabbatical. That's what a pastor does. He goes on sabbaticals. Y'all vacation, I sabbatical. It's a getaway. So we went and decided to try to find him. He wanted to go find some clothes for the wedding because I'm doing my niece's wedding in New York in 2 weeks. And we were at my old stopping grounds. I came back to Grand Prairie. So you know where all that new places is over there, Glow, where all the restaurants are, the new grands, what's it called? Epic Center, where all those shopping centers are, okay? So he went over to Ross over there. So go on in, Josh. I'll wait. I don't feel like I ain't got to buy nothing. I got to wear a suit in New York, which I hate, but I'll have to do it anyways. I already got a suit. But anyways, and all of a sudden, about 10 or 15 guys get out of this truck. And they had UT hats on, UTA, University of Texas at Arlington. And they were around their truck praying. I was watching them. And all of a sudden, they went to the back of the truck, and one guy grabbed a microphone with a speaker, another guy grabbed another, and all of a sudden, one group about five went one way, another group about seven went another way, and they just, in the name of the Lord Jesus, you have to repent. They're in the parking lot walking with the speaker, Vic, talking about Jesus. And so I decided to walk up to him. I said, hey, y'all keep preaching the gospel, whatever, and I said, what are y'all doing? I knew what they were doing, but he said, we are the Christian Fellowship Athletes. Christian Athletes? What's it called, Victor? Fellowship of Christian Athletes. That's what it is. Fellowship of Christian Athletes. He said, and the Lord put it on our heart that now the pandemic's over, we got to get people back to Jesus. So they're just going through the parking lot and they're handing out pamphlets like we have back there about how to be saved. And I thought to myself, I said, here are 20, 21-year-old kids decided to take their Saturday. They probably could have done other, but about 12 of them took their Saturday in the parking lot sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And their attitude when they were preaching, Victor, wasn't, he was like, you ought to come to the Lord right now. We're heading to the, and he was preaching, boy. It was a white kid, but he sounded like a brother, amen. He said, somebody say amen. You got to find Jesus. And I thought to myself, his attitude is right. And he said that we do this every so often now because we feel led by the Lord. He said, the gospel is free. I said, man, I gave him my card. I said, do y'all have like a website I can go to donate for your, he goes, oh, no, sir. We don't take no money. He said, we're just really not even a ministry. I said, you have no idea. You are a ministry, sir. He goes, we're just doing this because the Lord led us to do it. And I was asking him a question. I said, so how effective has this been? He said, to be honest with you, Pastor, he said, we did it two weekends ago and we had four people get saved in the parking lot of the grocery store that they were at. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? You've seen them before, okay? And all I thought was, that's the attitude the church needs to have. You know, we're sitting back thinking that everybody's saved. Let me tell you something. Just because you go to church don't make you saved. Just because you think you live a certain lifestyle doesn't make you saved. We are in the end times, church. I'm not going to preach on the book of Revelation, but I will tell you, if you look at what we're heading to, we are in the end times. And it's time for us to get our families saved, our friends saved, the people that we thought knew the Lord. Our attitude has to be, we need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because watch this. An attitude, I didn't put it up there, but watch this. According to Webster's Dictionary, an attitude is a settled way of thinking or feeling or position. Watch this, Elder Vic. I'm going to say it again for the church. Indicating a particular mental state. Let me say it again. An attitude or attitude is a settled way of thinking or feeling, a position of the body indicating a particular mental state. In other words, you are what you think you become. In other words, if you say this is all it's going to be, then this is all it's going to be. You have to have an attitude and understanding that things happen in a good way, and that we have to wake up with an expectation, come on somebody, an expectation that God's going to do something. Someone say amen. Watch this. We must, read that first key point, Don. Let them hear you with an attitude. We must have an attitude of relying on God for everything. Quit thinking somebody's going to help you out. My son, Josh, I think he's finding a place where he has to rely on God. I'm not his God. But we have to have an attitude of relying on God, someone say, for everything. Everything. Our finances, our jobs. That's why, you know, I'm telling you the truth. I got hit with that that no more on call. And I'm not worried about it. Like I was telling Elder Ron this morning, I'm not worried about it because God's going to bring something else. If he took that from me or allowed that to happen, I'm not worried about that. God, we have to know, watch this, church, we must have an attitude of relying on, someone say, for everything. Someone say, for everything. Everything. What does that mean? My job, the roof over my head, my health, my well-being. Everything. And here's what it says in the Word. Read that, Benita. Trust in the Lord if with all your heart and lean not, listen to me, to your own understanding. Second part of that verse, glow. It says in some of your ways, Vic. It says in some of your ways, Anna. In all your ways. In other words, everything you do in life must glorify God. He wants to have every part of your life. Because guess what? When we need something, we want to call upon him, right? But he says in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Now watch this. We have to have an attitude of a new beginning, way, as we talked about before, of having a particular mental state. Now, are there different kinds of attitudes? Someone say amen. Can we have a bad attitude? Huh? Can we have a bad attitude, Don? Leave a comment online. Can we just have an attitude? Like, seriously, can we just have an attitude? Yeah. Hey, good morning. Morning. How are you? I'm fine. Leave me alone. Your attitude can determine your altitude. Let me say it again. Your attitude can determine your altitude. Okay? And we have struggles. Watch this, church. We have struggles because we in the body of Christ, we want people to come to church, but they don't see us acting right. You don't understand. You don't only represent God outside of this church. You represent this church. And Pastor Mike, if you act a fool and then you try to give him a card,
like, oh, no.
I ain't going to that church. Well, I'm glad. It's okay to be real. It's okay. But like, I mean, sometimes we represent ourselves in the wrong way. But then also we represent ourselves in a good way, but when we represent the, let me tell you something. Is there anybody in this church this morning that's not thankful for God? Go, where'd you sleep last night? Where'd you sleep? At your home? With a roof over your head? And a comfortable bed? And it's 103 degrees out, but you ain't got to worry about it, baby, because you got AC. Where'd you sleep last night? With AC? With a bed? What about you, Anna? See, sometimes we don't praise God for what he gives us. I don't know what's coming on me. Maybe someone's online praying for me, but sometimes we don't even praise God for the little things he does. Like we think he owes us. Let me tell you something. God don't owe you a dime. God, he don't have to give you a paycheck. I was talking to a friend about my situation that has transpired in a year. And I sit in my house now, and I'm like, I was sitting in my house yesterday after working all weekend and just chilling out and hanging out, and I just was, I cleaned my whole house, and like, I cleaned my whole house in an hour and a half. It used to take me 4 or 5 hours when I had that 3,000 square foot house. I got a new attitude that, what's crazy is, but what's mine in my place now is mine. These three right here, when I moved, try to come over there. We need to get some flowers. And no, we do not. I need it to feel like a man. I appreciate the help. And Benita, well, Pastor, if you get a flower. No, we're not putting no flowers in this house. As long as I got a popcorn machine, I'm good, right? That Benita tried to put in the U-Haul truck. I'll just take this and hold it for you, Pastor. But what I'm saying is, the attitude has to be, we have to acknowledge him, and someone say he will direct our path. And so we our attitude has to be one of, watch this, I wanted to say this to y'all. Someone say, an attitude of gratefulness. If you're grateful for what God has done in your life, show him. Praise him for it. Be grateful for it. I don't want you to come to church just because you feel like you have to. You should come to church because you want to. Man, man, let me tell you something. I'm one thing I know about Elder Vic, he does everything he can to get back here on Sunday. Because he knows this is where he has to be. You want to know why? Because that brother knows that he can't be on that road in that 50-ton vehicle, whatever it is, without the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Watch this. Someone say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind. The mind, we have to have the right mind when it comes to thinking about our situation. Listen to me. Things happen, you can't change it, Anna. Some things are just going to happen. And we can't control it. And some things happen because of the decisions we make. Okay? But when I talk about let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, my attitude right now is, I'm blessed. I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord. I was talking to somebody, I said, you know, what's really crazy is because my personal expenses have gone way down from the 3,000 square foot house. Man, this will be the second time I traveled in like 3 months, Vic. I went to Colorado, had a good time, right, Glo? Now I'm going to New York for a week? Man, having that house payment, I wouldn't be able to do that. You know? I got all my boys taken care of this past week. Every one of them got their shots. They got a checkup. They got blood work. They got x-rays. All of that. And by the way, someone say, thank you, Jesus. Everybody is healthy. Everybody is good. All tests came back perfect. We have one left, which is the bad boy, Nacho. His appointment will be next week. And then they'll ship him off to the pet resort for a week. And Pastor Mike's going to doon, 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 doon. I'm leaving today. My attitude is I'm excited about what God is doing in my life. Come on, somebody. Listen to me. I don't know about you, but misery loves company. Oh, your attitude has to be it's time to have fun. The church has gotten away from having fun. Church was not meant to be boring. Church was not meant to be, oh, let's go hear a word from God and go home and we'll be okay next week. No, church is supposed to be fun. Watch this. Who wants to read that? I don't care. Whoever wants to just read it, just read it. I can do of myself nothing. I want you to understand this text right here, church. I can myself do nothing. Say it with me, church, in concert this morning. Say, I can of myself do nothing. I want you to hear this. You can do nothing without God. You can't do nothing without God. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Jesus' attitude was, this is not about me, it's about the one who sent me. Can I blow your mind? You're supposed to say, yes, blow our mind. I'm trying to prompt. Try it again for the crowd online. Can I blow your mind? Thank you. You all are so good. So the other day, I had a new admission for one of my companies. And it's a 56-year-old patient, 2 years older than me, has a very aggressive pancreatic cancer, 56 years old. They said, they're requesting the chaplain today because she got discharged from the hospital to go home. I walked into the home, and before I can even get into the door because her bed's in the living room where the family can see her and stuff, she said, you've been sent by God. Because she's still talking everything. I said, okay. She said, I have one question for you. I said, okay. She goes, what's your name? I said, Pastor Mike. She goes, would that be Michael? I said, Michael. She goes, oh, Jesus! I go, okay. She said, come to me. Come. She said, I'm Catholic. She said, but I know it's time for me to go because God sent me another Michael. I said, what? She said, when I was first diagnosed with cancer, the guy who treated me and did the chemo, his name was Michael. Watch this, y'all. Then when I was going to my other doctor and doing some stuff, the receptionist's name was Michael. When I got discharged from the hospital last week, and they told me I was going on hospice for end-of-life care, the nurse or whatever, his name was Michael. She goes, now I'm home and I'm okay with my diagnosis to end my, end of life care. And she goes, and he sends me another Michael. She said, do you know what your name means? I said, yeah, messenger of God or voice of God. And she said, I just met you, but she called her husband over and she called her son over and she called her daughter over and we're sitting in the living room and she said, scratch my funeral plans. Michael will do my services. This Michael. Amen. And she's Catholic. And she said, this is nothing but God. She said, you have been sent by the Father. And her attitude, y'all, at 56, and she probably weighs 78 pounds, her attitude is bigger than anybody in this church or in this world. She says, I know I'm dying, but yet I'm still going to live. Y'all ain't saying nothing. She goes, because I won't live here, but I know I'll live in the Father. Come on, somebody. And even though she has a deadly, watch this, a deadly debilitating disease, and she's going to be with the Father, her attitude is this. I'm not dying. I'm just going to the next chapter of where God has me. Come on, somebody. Your attitude depends on everything that you're doing in life. She's not wanting people to wail over her. And they've been married 42 years. Or 43 years. Yeah. No, 33 years. I'm sorry. And her attitude is this, Elder Ron. She said, Pastor, I said, yeah. She said, let me ask you. I said, okay. She goes, can I change what has happened? I said, no. She said, so if I can't change it, what does it do to complain about it? This is a woman that is dying of cancer. And she said, if I can't change it, why complain about it? Church, if you don't hear anything from Pastor Mike this morning, if you can't change it, quit complaining about it. Because it brings your attitude and life down. You can dictate and change your circumstances if you decide to have the right attitude, and that's given it to the Father. He says, I do not seek my own will, but the will of my Father, someone say, who sent me. Second key point. Read that. Don. That's right. We must change our attitude from relying on our abilities to relying on God for everything. You know, someone asked me a question one time. They said, I don't believe in tithing because that's my money. I work hard for that. So I told them, I said, okay, who gave you the ability to do job? Well, me, because I learned. I said, let's go back. How'd you learn? Well, I studied, and I learned how to. I said, how'd you do that? He said, what are you talking about, Pastor Mike? I said, do you have a brain? Right, Vic? Yeah, I have a brain. I said, well, who gave you that brain? Well, what do you mean? I was born with it. I said, oh, and who born you? Oh, well, I guess God. So everything you do is because of you? Listen to me. The Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. He don't have to give you breath. He don't have to give you life. And our attitude should be just as excited we are that the Cowboys are about to play football. Come on, somebody. We should be that excited about getting a word from the Lord. We must change our attitude, here it is, church, from relying on our abilities, someone say to relying on God. Come on, this is good stuff. God gives us the abilities, but we must rely on Him to help with our abilities, okay? I have never in 23 years or 24 years of preaching this gospel have ever made it about me. Okay? Anna, you've been coming here a while, right? As long as you've been in this church, have you ever seen Pastor Mike come up to you and say, boy, that was a good word. I did good, didn't I, Anna? No. Don? No. It's not about me. It's about the abilities He gives us. Listen to me. If you'll learn to glorify Him all the time, He'll learn to give you the stuff that you need. There are some blessings, church, that God has set up for you. Not because you deserve it, because we don't deserve it. It's because he loves you. There's a song by David Crowder called Oh How He Loves Us. And that song says, oh how he loves us. He's jealous for me. And that song simply says that he loves us. He gives us things not because he has to, watch this church, but because he wants to. Your attitude must be that this is important in my life to get to church or to serve God or to be in his plan. We must change our attitude, guys, from relying on us and our abilities to relying on God for everything. Another quote that I pulled up for this sermon last night was by the great Billy Graham. Y'all know who Billy Graham is. Powerful man of God. Billy Graham is quoted as saying this. He said, if we think we have everything and was given to us by ourselves, we are wrong. It is the Father in heaven who gives us the ability to gain wealth and to prosper. Because without his presence in your life, you are like a wave in the sea tossed to and fro. You will need to learn to depend on God in your life, because without him, you are nothing. Billy Graham quoted a saying that in one of his sermons. Which brings me to the next scripture. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without him, we can do nothing. Our attitude has to be one of expectancy of what God wants to do. Because God gives us chances and chances, and sometimes you might not know if that's the last chance that God will give you another chance. We should not frustrate the grace of God. Come on, somebody. I'm blessed to know that I have the ability to do what God's called me to do. I am the vine, and you're the branches. He who abides in me and him bears much fruit, for without me, he can do nothing. Look at this, church. If any of them lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. You know, I get a kick out of people when they make a major decision in their life, whether it's a job change or a career change or a place to move or place to live or whatever it is in their life. And I have a habit of telling somebody, I say, hey, y'all prayed. Did you pray about it? Well, no. Why do we got to pray about it? Why do you have to pray about it? I'll tell you why. Because you got to be in the will of God for your life, Anna. You got to make a decision. Is this going to benefit me or is it going to hurt me? And trust me, guys, people will get into so much stuff because of a feeling. I felt. Feelings will get you in trouble. Come on, somebody. Well, I thought that's what. No, don't think. Just pray about it. And seek the Lord. And see if that's the direction he wants you to go. You know, I have learned in that scripture when Paul said, I've learned to be happy with or without. I've learned to be content in all situations. And I'm going to place in my life, church, watch this. I'm going to place in my life that I am so content with what God has me or wants me to do that if any of them lack wisdom, he has to ask God, who gives to them liberally and without reproach and will give it to him. Look what the next verse says. But let him ask what, Ron? But let him ask in faith. With what? No doubting. How are you going to pray for God's plan in your life and will for your life and say, I don't know if it's God's plan, but... Listen to me, I'm not talking about praying what you're going to... Well, let me pray to see if that pasta is going to be good for me. I'm talking about that stuff. I'm talking about major things in your life. But when you ask, don't second guess yourself or don't second guess God. My God. Everything in my life, I pray about when major decisions come. For he who doubts like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. And look what it says, church. For let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. In other words, you can't pray about something and all of a sudden God shows you that it's his plan and he gives you confirmation and then you don't want to do it because the confirmation was not what you wanted. If God shows you in his word and the plan, listen to me. I don't know who's listening online, but I got some people listening online. I checked the stats this morning. Listen to me. This is for you out there. Listen to me. If God shows you and it conforms to his word, you know it's God. In the mouth of one or two witnesses, so shall my word be established. But guess what? I will guarantee you, going forth, I learned a valuable lesson the last couple of days. When the Holy Spirit tells me to do something, I'm just going to do it. I would rather offend you and send you to heaven than lie and send you to hell. Someone say, preach, Pastor Mike. I would rather tell you the truth and hurt you and draw you back to the Lord than lie to you and send you to a devil's hell. Preach the hell out of them. Because guess what? I'm getting in a place now where if I know it's not good for you, I'm going to tell you. I'm leaving your church then. Holla at you. We ain't got much left anyway, so one more wouldn't matter. There you go. I said that for a reason. That, see how quick an attitude can change? But what I'm trying to say is, because 9 times out of 10, people aren't going to receive what you have to tell them anyways. If they're not ready to receive it. If they're going to get something out of it, they'll listen to it. Right, Vic? Every person that's ever asked me for anything in my life, they always say this, but what's in it for me? I'm looking for somebody who will just finally come to me and say, I'm just here to bless you, Pastor Mike. I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting. For let not a man suppose that this man, he will receive anything from the Lord. Because your attitude has to be one of understanding that God is not slack in his promises. Watch this, church. This is so good. He is what? Unstable in all of his ways. Not just in the Lord. Let me tell you something. So good. So good. When I met those guys yesterday, I said, do people kind of like push away from you or keep on walking? He goes, oh yeah, half the time we're just going and they're like, I don't want to hear all that stuff. And I said, well, what's your attitude? He goes, our attitude is still good because guess what? He goes, there might be one that will change. And he says, we're going to keep doing it. And if we don't reach one, it's okay, Pastor, because we're doing what God told us to do. Don't be double-minded in your thinking, church. Let me ask you something, just for the sake of the text. How successful would Victor be if he didn't do his pre-check on his truck? Just hear me out. He knows he does the pre-check truck every time. And everything's always fine, right, Vic? No, but I'm just saying. It gets monotonous sometimes, right? But always not good, right? But, you know. But what if one day, Victor, Elder Victor, our elder, you know what? I'm sick of checking this truck. It's a new truck. It's fine. What if one day he decided not to check? And there's a brake line that had come loose. Air brakes. And he's going down the road. And in trucks like that, you have to have air brakes because it stops the trailer behind you. And if I'm wrong, let me know, Vic. And what happens if that line happened to be leaking or broke? But here, my brother's going down the road at 60 miles, 70 miles an hour, and he has come to a stop, but the air brakes on that trailer aren't working. That trailer's going to come right through the front of that truck or the back of that truck. Tell me if I'm right or wrong. And we may not have Elder Vic. Because his attitude was, I don't need to take the time to do it. I'm sure it's going to be okay. No. His attitude needs to be, I don't care if I'm running behind. I don't care if I'm late. I have to check this truck. Because it's for my safety and the safety of everybody else on the road. There's not one person in this church this morning that gets in their car and checks to make sure the car is working. We just get in and go. My brother can't do that because of the equipment that he has. His attitude has to be, even though it's time consuming, even though it takes me time, I have to make sure that I'm safe. See, a double-minded man, here's what the Bible says, church, before I get to my last point. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I can always tell how a person is on how their personal life is. Okay? What does it mean by a double-minded man? It simply means this, guys, that a guy that always into everything, watch this, someone say always into everything can be faithful over nothing, right? And my final point is this, church. Read that, Elder Vic. Let us be consistent with a new attitude of reliance on God for everything in our life. Someone say, be consistent. We don't need new people coming every week and just visiting for a week and leaving. What we need is consistency. It would be great if we had 50 visitors one Sunday. But if they don't come back, right? When Elder Vic preaches, we're probably going to have a lot of people come. Woohoo! Church is back. No. I don't judge the size of our church on when we have an event or who's here for a special thing. I judge the size of our church we have right now. Because I know at least 5 people will be here on Sunday. And people laugh at that. How do you have a church? It's not the attitude that I'm taking of how many we have. It's the fact that the Bible says one or two are gathered in my name is touching anything. That what we pray about, one or two in this midst, he's in the midst of us. I know my attitude has to be that I expect God to do something every time we're in this building. Is it next Sunday, first Sunday? I expect God to do something with our unified service. I expect God to Pastor Simon to speak to our church. We're going to have first Sunday fellowship at 9:45. We're going to break bread with them, what they did in the old Bible days. By the way, I need you like to come up with something, some extra food or something, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, because I know you're good at that stuff, because you know their entire church is coming over. There it is. Boy, look at that, Vic. Thank you. Good prompt, brother. And we're going to fellowship together, and we're going to break bread, and we're going to have a good time. And I expect an attitude of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit that morning. Come on, somebody. We're going to receive this man of God. And the attitude has to be one of expectancy. Come on, somebody. And it goes back to my final point. Let us be consistent with a new attitude of reliance on God for everything. Someone say everything in our life. Have we made mistakes? Someone say yes. Have we messed up? Someone say yes. Can we fix the mistakes we've made? Somebody say yes. But quit thinking about what you didn't do, couldn't do, or done. And start thinking about where you are now. listen to me. In a moment, I'm going to have the prayer partners come. But before they come, I want to mention this. The attitude of the few has to be of, we can do this. Come on, somebody. Our attitude has to be that I'm going to be consistent in my faith. I know I'm going to face some challenges this week. I know the enemy's going to try to take me out. We hear this all the time, Elder Ron. When one door closes, another one opens, Anna. Can I just bless my church this morning? Me and my son have had the most and best relationship in the last couple of weeks I've ever seen. He cooks for me. He cooks, I clean. Josh has never been one to clean, so he's good at cooking. Last night, his brother made fajitas and rice and cinnamon rolls. And I clean the house. Tonight at 6 o'clock, he's going to make chicken Alfredo when he gets off work. Can I have some? I'm learning something about my son. As long as you encourage Josh and say, I'm proud of you, good job. See, Josh, Josh had a rough life. He's dealt with a lot of mental problems. And I used to beat him down because I used to tell him mental problems is an excuse. No, it's not an excuse. Mental illness is real, y'all. And I've learned, I didn't mean to get emotional, but I'm so excited about leaving with my son next week to go to New York. We're going to have a blast, man. We're going to go eat hot dogs in New York City, and we're going to have pizza, and sorry, you're not going. And I'm excited about spending time with my son. And we're going to have fun. I've learned, my God. I've learned we don't need to bring people down. When you have an attitude of encouraging somebody, that'll go a lot further than yelling or discrediting them. You never do this. You'll never amount to nothing. That attitude right there gets on people. Are y'all proud of your pastor? Come on, can I get a praise report right now? I'm turning into an Elder Vic. Elder Vic used to tell me, it's not that serious, Pastor. He's right. It's not that serious. Because guess what? When we learn to meet people where they are. My God, Bonita, this is good stuff. When we learn to meet people, this man gets on my nerves. No, I'm telling you. Ron is a talker. I get on the phone with him just to check a patient, and I know I got 20, 30 minutes. Well, Pastor, you know, I did this funeral, and the family was really good. And I'm like, okay, what else you got to say, Ron? That's him. That's his gift. I'm not picking on my brother. He's a different preacher than me. I don't call Vic. He does. Vic knows I love him, but I don't got time to call Vic. I'm just telling you the truth. So Elder Ron does it. You see, what thing about this church I love is we offset each other. We all have gifts. Man, do y'all feel like the presence of the Holy Ghost in this place? Do y'all feel him? If you feel him, give him a praise right now. I feel him in this church this morning. Our attitude has to be, we may be a few, but in the eyes of God, he sees many. We have to have an attitude that this will be okay. You know, there was a time when Josh would have an attitude about going to church when he moved back in with me from Colorado. Saturday night would come. I ain't going to church. Can't make me go to church. I said, are you off? Yeah, I'm off. I don't have to go to your church. Your church. What do you got, 10 people? Ooh, we're going to praise Jesus. And just an attitude, right? Something changed. Do you know what he told me about last week's sermon? My son. He said, your sermon was really good last week and I received, and that illustration, it really spoke to me. God is working on him. God is moving. And so last night after dinner, he said, hey, Dad, I'm sorry I can't go to church, but they got me working 10 to 6. Is that okay? Not, I'm not going to church. I'm doing groceries tomorrow, so I got to stock and work 10 to 6, so I won't be able to go to church. I said, that's okay, son. Working at Kroger. Cashiering in Kroger around my, from the corner from my place. And it wasn't an attitude between us. As I understand, cool. But my son, the attitude son, you know how Josh is. He said, but hey, Dad, have a good service. Went from, I'm not going to service, to, hey, have a good service. I'll cook dinner when I get home. Your attitude affects somebody else. And if you have an attitude with them, they're going to have an attitude with you. If you have an attitude with God, he's going to have an attitude with you. Lord, I need a breakthrough. I need a financial breakthrough, God. I can't pay my car payment. I can't pay my rent. I can't. And God said, what have you done for me lately? He don't have to bless you. He wants to. He wants your attitude to change to him. What can God do with a mustard seed? What can God do before we close? What can God do with the mustard seed? If you have faith of a mustard seed, I got three and you can't even see them. I can do so much more with little in my hand, with the right attitude, than you can do with much in your hand, with the wrong attitude. If you have a prayer request, come on, Elder Ron. Come on, Sister Don. Yes, if you have a prayer request as we close this morning, so I want you to pray with Don for Anita. Matter of fact, come on, Elder Vic. We're going to agree with Anita this morning. She's, let me just tell you what it is. Here, as a matter of fact, there you go. Matter of fact, let's give her God the Father, as God the Son, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. I'm not ashamed to tell you, but Mom in San Antonio is struggling with some health issues, and there's some concerns about a surgery that's going to have to come up, and she's very nervous about the surgery and some other things going on with her vision and her eyes. There's all kinds of stuff. We don't go into details, but just all kinds of things, and the enemy's trying to bring fear upon Anita. But how many know God don't give us a spirit of fear? My God, my God, my God, my God. And so we're going to pray and release the spirit of freedom over Anita's mind right now. Y'all go ahead and grab your sister in proxy for Anita. We're going to pray right now. Father, right now in the name of Jesus. Lift up Anita right now, God, in the name of Jesus. We cast out and bind the spirit of fear over her life right now. We claim healing over her body right now. We speak hope and expectancy right now in the name of Jesus, and we release her mind right now. God, you don't give us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind and a sound body. Let this prayer leave Grand Prairie, Texas right now and fly to San Antonio and land in her heart right now, and let her know she has a church that loves her. She has a church that's praying for her, and we are believing God for a good report that even if she has to have the surgery, we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and for those that are called according to his purpose. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. If you believe it, give them a praise offering right now. Thank you, Jesus. If you have a prayer request, Elder Ron and Don are up here this morning. And next week will be my last Sunday here for a week. It'll be my last Sunday here for a week. So we'll pray over Pastor Mike and Josh next week for traveling mercy. But I want you, if you have a prayer request, I want you to come. And these two wonderful servants of the Lord will pray for you. There are some special prayer requests that Lord knows my heart for some people in my life that I want to pray for. God knows their names. I want to lift those up to you. I want to continue to pray for our church. I want to continue to pray for the Unified Service next week. And God will get all the glory. If you have any of your prayer requests, you can come to the altar at this time.